collaborative businesses are on the rise, and this is the Collaborative Business Podcast, a podcast that will help you find answers and provides useful insights to the best ways of working together in partnerships, alliances, and many other kind of business-to-business collaboration. Here's your host, Peter Simoons.
Hey there, welcome to episode 20 of the Collaborative Business Podcast. The podcast is growing up, 20 episodes already. And so far we have had many entrepreneurs and alliance specialists in our call. And today my guest is Didi Haas. And Didi knows all about channel. And the channel, as you will know or may know, is basically selling products for somebody else or have somebody else sell your products and to make sure that you both are making money off it. But channel is also not for everybody, as you will hear Didi explain in her recommendations. And as usual, you know, with the podcast, the show notes are over at simoons.com/episode20. Now, without further ado, let's welcome Didi to the podcast. Didi, welcome to the podcast. So, Didi, before we dive into the conversation, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us who you are and what you do?
My name is Didi Haas, and I am the channel sales strategist for DLH Services in the Washington, D.C. area. And I focus on the building of channel sales teams and channel sales programs for small, medium size companies nationally in the United States and also globally. And I have been in channel sales in one position or another, managing channel sales teams or territories of channel sales partners since 1985. I've worked not only for the vendor, such as Intel Corporation, but also for a couple of different partners. So I've been on both sides of the aisle when it comes to channel sales itself.
Excellent. So since 85, so you are the expert when it comes to channels.
I am an expert when it comes to channels.
Okay. And what you didn't mention, we share an interest in alliances in the sense that we are part of the same association where we met and know each other from.
That is true.
Yeah. So, and you already more or less mentioned it in your introduction, but when I look at the collaborative business spectrum, so the spectrum where we recognize companies working together, to frame our conversation in today's episode, what is for you a business collaboration?
For me, in what I focus on, a business collaboration is the collaboration is between two companies that are partnering in order to make money, to sell something. They're making money by selling something, and it could be hardware, software, services. I do focus, or my focus is on in the high technology arena, and mostly software, but also some hardware and services. And so for me, collaboration is a vendor, the company who provides the hardware, software, services, selling to their customers through a partner. And so that's the collaboration itself. And in my case, the partner could be a value-added reseller, a systems integrator, can be any kind of a provider that provides services to customers and also products to customers and solutions. Essentially, those partners are solution providers.
So you're making a clear distinction already that it's predominantly sell through, partnerships like R&D partnerships where you jointly develop something and the focus is purely on the joint development are beyond your scope.
No. We in the channel sales and for those of us that are in channel sales, we also consider the independent software vendor as a channel and also an OEM, original equipment manufacturer. We consider those also channels, and I have been involved in those. So yes, predominantly it is sell through, but we also have situations where the partner does develop modules that can be tacked on to whatever the product is that the vendor is selling. And it may still be a sell-through situation where they're selling the vendor's products and services, but they also tack on some of their products and services to add value and also for them to make some additional money. It could be a situation that you know, alliance managers are more involved with, and I have been involved with this, and it involved the channel sales team where you are partnering with a independent software vendor and you're jointly working on a product that will be sold by both channel sales teams. So we do encounter that on occasion, not as often as the other scenarios. And one other is where you have an OEM situation, original equipment manufacturer, and this can even be with software, where you have a product or a service that is a part of or is embedded in somebody else's product or part of their service, and they are selling it to customers. It's again, a sell-through. They use something that you have made, they embed it into their products or services, and then they're selling it to customers. So probably the two companies working together with a joint product is closest to alliances. They still incorporate or include their channel sales team to sell this product. But channel sales can also include other solution providers who are also small ISVs or a company that has its own product but embeds yours. So we do encounter those situations as well.
Okay. And you mentioned that you have worked for Intel.
Yes, I did.
When I talk to people about the several types of alliances, of collaborations, business collaborations, and we discuss OEM, I most often use the Intel example in the sense that almost every computer has an Intel inside and everybody recognizes it because of the sticker on their computer. Would that be a model that you recognize within your scope as being an alliance or a channel?
When working for Intel, I did not work for the processor group. I worked for a small software division. But as far as Intel is concerned, they called it more of a partnership than an alliance. When I was working there, they did not use the term alliance. They do use it now much more often, but it was an OEM partnership because, you know, their products were in somebody else's machines. When I worked for Intel, it was for a small software division that developed and sold through a channel server network management product, which is around still today. So they started selling it in 1991 when I started with the company, and it's still around today. So it's long lasting. But Intel only sold through channels, so the processor group was considered an OEM channel. They may have different terms for it now. In our small division, we were definitely a channel organization. And in fact, our division's sales team also was incorporated into a larger organization. We had a business unit that developed the software product, but the sales team or the channel sales team, the one that I was a part of, we were part of a larger organization at Intel called the Reseller Channel Organization, RCO, and a very, very large organization at Intel, which did in the 90s eventually sold up to $1 billion a year in product through the channel.
That's a respectable channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It included not just our software, but it also included some products that are no longer in existence today. But at the time, it was Ethernet cards, token ring cards, math coprocessors, their modems, satisfaction internal modems. But as time went on, it included a number of other hardware, and then, of course, our software product.
Yeah, I remember that time indeed. I was in IT in those days. So when you look at your current business, DLH services, clearly channel is your product, working in the channel, working with the channel, enabling the channel is your service, your product. But do you also create partnerships yourself for your own business?
I have not done that yet. If I do that, I'm actually in talks with one person who has also been in channels for a long time in some partnership arrangement that we would help each other in backing each other up when we get our own, when we have our clients that we need to take care of if one of us has to be out of the country or out of town for a long time and somebody is there for that particular client or customer can contact. That kind of partnership, I'm in talks with at least one person. There have been other people, including some people from Association of Strategic Alliance Professionals. We've talked about some partnering arrangements, but really have never gone beyond just saying, hey, we should talk about it. I find that those of us that are self-employed or independent consultants in the channel, we tend to be so busy that it's hard to sometimes find the time to be partnering with other people or organizations. Now, I do know some people who do the same thing I do, and that partner with some software companies and some other organizations that bring value to the channel in many different ways, maybe like a CRM company or in the case of partner management, maybe a PRM, you know, partner resource management software company. I do know people that do that. I have not done that, though I've been asked to do that. I need to have the time and find the right company to partner with in order to do that.
Understand. So when you look at your work with your customers, is there a specific methodology that you use, or are there specific elements that you feel that need to be part of their business?
Many of my clients, in fact, many of my clients are starting new. And it's interesting. Channels have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Novell actually was the company back in the early to mid-80s that kind of started this whole channel thing in the high-tech industry. And so, you know, it has been around for a long time. But in the most recent years, there seems to be a lot of companies that have decided that they're going to jump on the channel bandwagon, though they have no clue as to how to build a channel. They've got some ideas that, you know, they build a channel, the resellers will come, they'll make tons of money in about 3 months, which is actually not going to happen. And so what I find with the new clients that I have that have never had a channel, they are looking for guidance because they really don't know what to expect and they just don't know what to do. Direct sales was so much easier, but also in these days, costly. And very few people are going to work for commission only. So they are looking to build a channel for their product. And so when they contact me, the first thing that we really have to decide is whatever it is that they sell, is it appropriate for a channel in the first place? And then what I'd like to do is really kind of set them straight on, you know, expectations that selling through the channel is not something that's going to happen overnight. And so it's really more of a learning process at the beginning, and then letting them decide whether this is something that they want to continue with or pursue. I do have clients or prospective clients that have had channels in the past that were not very successful. They stopped managing their channels, and then they feel like they need to go back, but they have to find out why it didn't work the first time. And so you have it's a little bit trickier because you've got somebody who's tried it once and it didn't seem to work very well. And so now you have to be a little bit tactful in letting them know, well, you know, with channels, these are some of the things that you really need to think about and what you need to do. And if you want to recruit partners, you really have to understand why somebody would want to partner with you in the first place. And essentially, for companies that are trying to rebuild a channel, and just as importantly, the new ones, what I tell them is that, you know, the whole reason that you're building a channel is for you to help your partner build their business selling your stuff. It's essentially that. That is what you're doing. And that's a little bit, for new clients, that's, it, you know, they understand that. You know, they have to make a decision whether that's something they want to do. For somebody that has tried a channel in the past and wasn't too successful with it, it's a little bit hard to swallow because they really think that the partner should be doing all the work and doing all this for them. And you really have to kind of set them straight and say, look, you're the one that has to help these guys be successful. And so it's a little bit of a change, a thought process change that we have to go through with the clients.
That's where the term channel enablement comes in, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So that is what I am doing right now, helping these clients build their channel program, build their relationship with their partners, recruit partners, and helping them recruit the correct people in their organization to manage those partners, building their channel sales teams.
Okay, interesting. And when you look at your own experience, is there a channel experience that you can share where you've been involved in that was for you personally the best learning experience and taught you the most on the topic?
The best learning experience I had was with the channel was working for Intel. We were a small division, so big Intel, really, we didn't have the support that many of the people who worked for big Intel, like the processor groups, had. We were a very small organization, limited budget, and so there were six of us and the channel sales team for Intel that managed territories, and so I had a territory which happened to be the northeast of the United States. And it was quite a learning experience because we had limited number of people working in the territory. I had one half of a systems engineer and inside sales rep, and that was it for my team. So I was not only responsible for finding and recruiting partners, but training the sales organizations, managing the partners, and also helping them with finding the right customer for them to sell to. Partners are not going to open up their customer list to anybody until you, the vendor, shows that you are going to help them build their business. And what that means is you, the vendor, it's your responsibility to help them get leads, get them into different accounts. Once you've done that, you'll find that they'll be more than happy to open up their customer list to you, and that they'll go in and happily promote your and sell your products. The reason I'm mentioning all of this as an answer to your question is that that's exactly the way it worked out at Intel. I had a territory that was managed by three separate people within 1 year before me, and they kept moving on to different positions within the company, and so the partners kept losing The regional, we call them regional territory managers, but they manage the channel partners, and they kept losing these people. I managed in the Northeast, at the time I was managing the channel partners' technical teams. So I helped them with training, technical training, helping them with the relationship with the systems engineer, making sure that they go into the partners, go into the customers, understanding how the product works, you know, how they should speak with the customers, the knowledge that they have, that kind of thing, providing them with resources. And so one of the partners, after the third person left, one of the partners said to the sales manager at Intel, the channel sales manager at Intel, they said, you need to get Dee Dee to do this. She's been in this territory for a couple of years. You need her to manage it from now on. So they did. I went into that position, and what I did is I just helped my partners get into different accounts that came into Intel. Customers would contact Intel looking at our products. I would bring a partner in, get them embedded into that particular customer. They would end up selling the product, also providing maybe some modules that they have developed, providing services. And I did that a number of times with a number of different partners. And then as their trust grew and they knew that I wasn't going anywhere, they started opening up their customer list and their customer base to us. And so as an example, we went from almost zero new revenue. We did have some existing revenue from previous sales in that territory, but we went from almost zero new revenue to $2 million in revenue to Intel in 2 quarters. So
that's a good result indeed. But I think you mentioned one very essential element, because you mentioned that the moment you were building trust, things started to change.
Yes.
And also in it doesn't matter what type of collaboration you are, trust is essential.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I had it easy. We all had it easy at Intel because Intel didn't sell direct anywhere in the company. So we did not have what we call in our industry channel conflict. That is conflict between the direct sales team and the indirect sales team. Indirect sales, that's channel sales. So that was one element that we didn't have to deal with. But having three different managers in the territory within a year's time really not getting the support from those folks, really, it's very hard for the partners to trust anybody. So I just worked very closely with them. I was on an airplane every week for a long time going up into New England and helping these folks, because I wanted to make sure that I could help them build their business, because I knew that they were going to help me in the long run.
Yeah.
And they ended up trusting me, and we ended up being quite successful together.
Yeah. That's the way it works, indeed. I recognize it. Was there for you a moment in time that you realized that collaboration is essential for your business? Or was it already from the beginning on that you were involved in collaborative business?
Do you mean DLH services or?
Well, actually over your whole career. So what was the first moment you realized that collaboration is essential?
What's interesting is all my life I've been in volunteer positions. Volunteer positions where you had to work together and collaborate with other organizations to be successful. And then along with that, and that started in, high school and college for me.
Mm-hmm.
Also these volunteer positions, I was always in kind of a management type position. And so when I started working, I was an account. I started as an account manager. And so I was always managing accounts to make sure that they were happy, they were successful, they got what they needed from our products and services. I've always been in that position. And so I, it's just something that just seems to be, I guess, part of my DNA, and always working closely with people. Always wanting to work together, so to make sure that, you know, when we'd go and we do something together, that we're all successful in this. I started out as an account manager with a very large company that did have a direct sales team, but this was this is something that channel sales people don't do. In this particular company, their direct sales team, they close the deal and they leave. And so I went in and I managed the rest of the account. And so that's just the direct sales mentality. It's not a bad mentality. That's just the way it is. I went in and took care of the customer from the time it was closed until, you know, I would call them once a year, once every 6 months, to make sure they were okay. So then I moved from that particular position into working for an actual reseller of some IBM and Novell products back in the mid-80s. And noticed how we as a partner were being taken care of by Novell and by IBM, and how we were being managed and having a direct relationship with those vendors. And then moving on to a much larger partner of Novell's who sold not over Novell products but other products and services, moving on to them and seeing how vendors managed their relationship with us and how that made us all successful. So coming from an account management background and then going to the partner and watching how successful vendors work with their partners, jumping into the vendor side, it just was an easy fit, because where I had been, collaboration and managing people to success, or managing companies and organizations to success, you know, that's what I saw. I it was a good learning experience moving up and becoming, you know, managing a territory within Intel, and then working with other companies and building and their sales teams, or their channel sales teams and their channel sales programs. So it's just something that came through from, you know, high school, college, all through the beginning of my career. So, and that's where I am today.
So you've constantly been building upon your experience.
Yes.
Yeah, great. So when companies would like to enter into a channel type of collaboration, what would be your number one recommendation?
When a company wants to enter into some sort of channel collaboration, the first thing that I ask them to do is really understand why they want to do this. Is it whatever they sell, hardware, software, services, is it appropriate for a channel? Is this going to work? They may think, well, you know, this is going to be great for a reseller channel. And in some cases, it may not be. It may be that it's good for a channel, but we have to look at maybe a different type of channel, maybe more of an OEM arrangement, let's say. And I worked for a company, and I actually came on board as a consultant, and then ended up working for them full time because they asked me to come on board. And they had always tried to have a reseller type of relationship, a reseller partner relationship. They were the vendor, and they were always looking for resellers. That didn't work out as well as having an OEM arrangement with companies. And we realized that resellers just did not work. And I told them, I think an OEM arrangement with companies is a better way to go. And it turned out that was the case. So when a company comes to me, I really want them to understand their business. They have to understand their business. What is it that they're trying to accomplish? And you know, what is it that their product does? What value does it bring to the customer? And what value is it going to be for the reseller or the OEM company or whoever it is that's going to sell it for them, what kind of value do they get out of this? And so that's the very first thing that I want them to really kind of look inside themselves and figure out, is this the right thing to do? If it is, then we move on to, well, you know, this is all about building relationships, and you need to approach building a channel team and channel and recruiting channel partners. You need to, approach this as a partnership collaboration, where this is going to be something that you're going to all work together to build the partner's business, and that all of you will be successful. The ultimate goal, though, in all of this is that you and the partner make money. So in a channel or in a channel arrangement, the ultimate goal is always going to be revenue. But you have to do the right things leading up to making that revenue.
So really going back to the beginning and answer the question, why partnering, is channel the right answer?
Yes.
Yeah. So is there a business book or a book about channels that you can recommend to our listeners?
There's a small book that I know the person who wrote it, that it's really for people that have been in the channel, as opposed to something if you are trying to start from, you know, ground zero with the channel. If you have been in the channel or you've been in alliances, this book is by John M. Fox, and it is called 99 Questions to Jumpstart Your Partner Channel Brain. You can find it at Amazon. It's a great book because he just asks questions. And really, that's how you need to start when you are talking with a company that is looking to build a channel program and recruit partners. You have to ask them a lot of questions, and they need to be asking their partners a lot of questions.
Yeah. Great title. And I will link to the book in the show notes.
Okay.
That will be on my website, so it will be easy for the listener to click through to find the right book.
Great.
So, Didi, where can people find more about you and your business?
A couple of different places. They can find me at my website, which is www.dlhservices.com. Also, I am on LinkedIn, and all they have to do is search for Didi Haz or DLH Services on LinkedIn, and they'll find my LinkedIn profile. And my email address is Didi, D-E-D-E, at DLHServices.com.
Okay, excellent. Well, like with the book, we'll put the links into the show notes to make it easy. When people are running or in the car and can't take notes, they can always come back to the website and click right through to you.
Okay.
So is there anything you would like to share with the listeners that we have not yet discussed?
Just that channels are becoming more and more popular these days, just because the economy being what it is and companies not having the resources to have direct sales teams as big as they used to be. And that if you are going to... if you as a company are looking into starting a channel sales organization, it really is best to start with people who have been there, done that. Get yourself lined up with folks, either hiring them or talking to a consultant who has a lot of experience in channels and speaking with them first, rather than trying to start from scratch with people that don't have the knowledge, because it is very, very different from a direct sales team. And there's a lot of pitfalls if you go in that direction. So it's best to really search out and find good channel sales experts. You can find them on LinkedIn. You can find them in the channel groups on LinkedIn. There are some people that are just outstanding. And really, tap into their knowledge before you move forward. One other thing, something we didn't discuss, which was I mentioned before, though, was channel conflict. If you have a direct sales team and a channel sales team, mm-hmm. you really need people with experience on the channel side to know how to mitigate any of those problems that might come up because you have a direct sales team and an indirect sales team in your company. So I always tell people, look for the experts. They are going to be the best thing you can do if you want to start a channel organization.
Excellent. And I think we just spoken to an expert, so look for Didi and then for the others if you're not available.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, it was a pleasure to have you in the podcast, Didi. Thank you for your participation.
Thank you for the invitation.
Well, so far for this episode in the Collaborative Business Podcast, I think you will agree with me that Didi shed an interesting light on the channel aspect of the collaborative business spectrum. The show notes can be found at simons.com/episode20, and obviously you will find there the contact details for Didi, as well as a link to the book she mentioned. And what I really would like to see you do in those show notes, or better said, under those show notes, is leave a comment and some feedback on how you like the Collaborative Business Podcast and what would you like to see more of in the future, in the coming 20 or more episodes, or what would you like to hear less of in those episodes. So do myself and you as a listener a favor and tune in at simons.com/episode20 and leave a comment there under the show notes. Thank you very much. Bye for now. Until next week.
Thanks for listening to the Collaborative Business Podcast. For more insights about business collaboration, partnerships, and alliances, hop over to www.cmoons.com.